faithful friend when muscles ache and pain, presents Gangbusters.
Calling the police, calling the G-Men, calling all Americans to war on the underworld.
Gangbusters brought to you by the makers of Sloan's Liniment. With the cooperation of leading law enforcement officials of the United States, Gangbusters presents facts in the relentless war of the police on the underworld. Authentic case histories that show the never-ending activity of the police in their work of protecting our citizens. America's crusade against crime. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel H. Norman Schwarzkopf, our regular interviewer, is now serving with the United States Army. However, the colonel is continuing his supervisory duties on Gangbusters by proxy. In a moment, we'll be ready for our proxy interview between Colonel Schwarzkopf and Chief of Police J.P. Coffey of Valdez, North Carolina, who will relate the facts in the case of the ape bandit, the college athlete who turned killer. But first, friends, there are three important qualities which have made Sloan's Liniment the world's best-known liniment for muscular aches and pains. Sloan's brings quick relief. Sloan's is the pad-on liniment. No rubbing or massaging is needed. And Sloan's eases pain, whether it's caused by overexertion, accident, or cold weather. Next time your muscles seem to be tied in knots, next time your back or your shoulder is stiff and sore, try patting on Sloan's liniment. It takes but a second, and almost instantly, you can feel that comforting warmth ease away the pain. If you haven't a bottle on the medicine shelf right now, it's time you made a mental note to ask your druggist for a handy bottle of Sloan's, the quick-acting liniment. Now for our proxy interview between Colonel Schwarzkopf and Chief of Police J.P. Coffey of Valdez, North Carolina. Picture our setting as a special office turned over to the colonel by Commissioner Louis J. Valentine of the New York City Police. Colonel Schwarzkopf.
Chief Coffey, this case of Dwight Beard certainly has many unusual angles. As I recall, Beard had a powerful physique and was a star college athlete. His cunning brain used this to make incredible escapes.
That's right, Colonel. After looting a house, Beard would leap from an upper story window to a nearby tree, swing himself to the ground, and then disappear. But Beard was soon apprehended. And the court, believing him sincerely repentant, placed him on probation, never realizing that Beard was already scheming new criminal activity.
And you, I'd never go to jail. And you, if I put on a good crying act, the court would think I was repentant. They caught me once, but they'll never get me again. I have a new plan. All I need is money, and I'm getting that money tonight.
It was on the night of February 18th, 1932, in the little town of Valdez, North Carolina, that Beard went after this money. There, Beard and another man waited for the return of the local storekeeper.
Are you sure this storekeeper will have the money on him tonight, Beard?
I know he will. I also know he'll come up this path to his house.
Where can we hide?
This tree.
Why, you're crazy, Beard. We can't both hide back in this tree.
We won't be back of it. We'll be up it.
What?
Go on, climb.
Okay, Beard, if you say so.
Come on.
You got it? Yes, sir. Do you think this branch will hold both of us?
Sure. Now, when our friend passes under the tree, we'll drop down and grab him.
Yeah, that's a good idea, but what if...
Shh. Someone's coming.
The storekeeper.
Get ready.
I'm set.
Drop.
Who are you?
Oh, no, hand over that money.
No, I won't.
Why, it's you. It's in that satchel, pal. Grab it.
I got it.
No, help. Give me my money.
I said
give me
quiet.
Beard, you killed him.
In this brutal manner did Dwight Beard commit his first murder, Colonel. Immediately, printing presses roared as thousands of police circulars were sent to all nearby police departments.
To all police chiefs, urgent, wanted for murder, Dwight Beard, 23, 175 pounds, 5 feet 11 inches, fair complexion, athletic build, reward for his arrest and conviction, notify J.P. Coffey, Chief of Police, Valdez, North Carolina.
Thus, Dwight Beard started his life of crime colonel, a hunted man. He was recognized but not captured in Georgia, in Louisiana, and in Florida. But for months, nothing more was heard of Beard. He had taken on a new name. Then, in April of 1933, a significant meeting took place between two men in St. Paul, Minnesota, in an apartment house.
That's my proposition, Wilson. The police will never suspect us. I worked this plan out step by step, ever since I was in college.
I admit you have something unusual, but I don't trust you. Let's put our cards on the table. You say your name is Donald Haynes?
Well?
Let's not kid each other. I know that's not your real name.
Listen, Wilson. As far as you're concerned, my name is Donald Haynes.
Okay, Haynes. Whatever you say.
I need a partner who has the proper underworld connections. You have. You coming in with me? Yes or no?
Well, Haynes, let's put it...
I said I'll have access to every wealthy home in the city. These rich people will be my friends. It's a setup in a million.
What makes you think that you, a stranger in town, can just walk out and get to know all the ritzy people living around here? Why, it'd be like sending me to New York to crash the 400.
That's right, Wilson. You couldn't do it. But I can.
You sure hate yourself. But I still want to know, how are you going to do it?
With ease. These golf sticks are going to open the doors of the wealthy to me.
What?
Yes, Wilson. These golf sticks.
Are you nuts?
It may take a week, it may take a month. But I have each step carefully planned. I start tomorrow on the golf links. And you'll see how I make out. I can't miss. All right. Tee up my ball, Caddy, and we'll see what I do in this last hole.
Yes, Mr. Haynes.
By the way, just what is my score?
Well, Mr. Haynes, I never see such golf shooting all my bone days. Just 3 strokes under the course record already.
Not so bad, eh?
Now, Mr. Haynes, yours is a wizard. You're only a new member of this club, but all the other members been asking me who you is and how you shoot golf so good.
That's so? Let me have the driver.
Yes, sir. It's par 4 on this hole, sir. It's a dog's leg. The green's about 300 yards away.
All right. Here we go. Right over that pond.
Lordy me. Look at that ball go like an old eagle eye right over the pond. Mr. Haynes, you've done it on the green and white. You see that? On the green and white.
Not so bad, if I do say so myself.
Oh, wait till folks back at the clubhouse hear about this golf shoot, Mr. Haynes. They'll never get over talking about it. No, sir, never.
In this way did Dwight Beard, alias Donald Haynes, worm his way into St. Paul, Minnesota society, Colonel. Within a week, he was playing golf with some of the city's wealthiest men. Within a month, he was a welcome guest in some of the city's finest homes. Then Beard and his partner, Wilson, had a talk in Beard's apartment.
Stage is set, Wilson. All the groundwork is laid. We're ready for action.
Well, Haynes, I've got to hand it to you. You worked this thing out just as you planned. I've read about your social life in the newspapers.
We need money now, and we're going to get it, Wilson. I bought you a chauffeur's uniform and a butler's outfit today.
What for?
It's essential that you drive the car for me.
Oh, I get it.
When I invite these people here, you'll serve tea or drinks, whatever's necessary.
Okay. I'll play the perfect butler or chauffeur or anything you say, Mr. Haynes. So long as we get the dough. What's our first job?
See this invitation?
Donald Haynes, Esquire. Mr. and Mrs. G.B.F. Smythe request the pleasure of your company at a dinner dance to be held in honor of Count and Countess...
Some visiting celebrities. Can you imagine the wealthy people and all those that jewelry stuff each woman will be wearing in order to impress the Count and Countess?
There'll be a fortune there. Abbott Haynes, are you sure you can pull a job like this alone?
Listen, Wilson. I know every inch of the Smythe's home. I know just what door to enter, so no one will see me. The whole job will take less than 5 minutes.
Sounds okay to me.
This Saturday evening, you'll drive me to the Smythe's. The guests are in for an unexpected surprise. You sure you have all my evening clothes in the back of the car, Wilson?
Sure, Haynes. Collar, shirt, tie, studs, everything.
It's 8:30.
Guess they've all probably arrived at this mess by now.
One thing, Haines. You're supposed to be a guest there yourself. How are you going to rob them without their recognizing you?
That's up to me. Turn up this rifle, Wilson. To 7 centimeters.
Right.
All right, stop back of this clump of bushes.
Okay. Quite a party in there.
Yeah, French door's opening into the house on this side. I'll get in that way. You turn the car around and be ready to make a quick getaway when I come out.
Right.
Now, let's see. I think I have everything. The basket, gloves, revolver. I'll just slip on this mask.
Haines, I don't know if you can do it. There must be at least 30 people in that house.
Don't worry, Wilson. You just be set for a quick getaway.
Okay. Watch your step.
Don't make a move. Stay right where you are.
Beware the mask.
Quiet, quiet. I don't want to have to kill anyone. And no heroics from you men. Now, ladies, start removing your jewelry. Drop it in this basket. You men, empty your pockets.
Come on.
I mean business.
This is outrageous.
Quiet.
This is my wedding ring. Do I
You can keep the ring, but not that bracelet.
Thank you. Here's my bracelet.
This is the most terrible thing I've ever
heard. Put it in there. Thanks for the jewelry. I'll be going now, but I'm warning you. I'll kill the first person that starts after me. Good night. Take this basket, Wilson.
Okay, Haines. Hop in.
Step on it, Wilson. Fast. Pull up on the side of the road, Wilson, while I change to these evening clothes.
Yeah.
Now, I gotta get dressed fast.
And then what? After you're all dolled up?
You drive me back to the Smythes, of course. They're expecting me.
You're going back there?
Listen, stupid. 3 minutes ago, these people were held up by a masked gunman in a gray suit, light hat, and tan shoes. 5 minutes later, I arrive in evening clothes as an invited guest.
Yeah?
You think anyone would ever figure that I'm the one who just held them up? Why, when I get back there, if they haven't already called the police, I'll do it for them.
Police records show, Colonel, that Beard pulled more than 50 robberies in this manner.
Yet, Chief Coffey, for all his cunning, it's evident that luck played with him. If anyone had seen Beard in his quick change act, he would have been captured the very first time he tried the plan.
That's true, Colonel. And as you point out, his luck did change.
Chief Coffey, before you tell us how this murderer and thief was discovered, Charles Stark has a few words for us.
During this raw, wet, blustery time of year, you're going to hear many folks complain they're chilled to the bone. Too often a chill like that brings muscular aches and pains. But just so long as you have a bottle of dependable Sloan's liniment handy, you needn't worry. For over two generations, this famous Patton liniment has been giving quick relief when muscles ache. Millions of people the world over use and like Sloan's liniment. They find it so easy to apply, so promptly acting and comforting. If you have a mean crick in your back or a sore leg or arm, try Sloan's liniment yourself. Just pat it on lightly, lean back and relax. Like a heat treatment, a delightful warmth penetrates to those sore and stiffened muscles, soothing away the pain in no time at all. The next few months are the Sloan months. Always have a bottle of this family friend in need, ready to serve you when pain strikes. Sloan's liniment costs very little, but it's sure worth plenty when you need it in a hurry.
Now, Chief Coffey, you say Dwight Beard's luck changed.
The brakes were all going Beard's way at first, Colonel Schwarzkopf. Then, as is usual between the two crooks, trouble broke out one night at Beard's apartment.
Hey, Wilson, come in here.
What's on your mind, Haines?
I've been doing some figuring. The last 6 months, you've made pretty good money.
Well, haven't you?
Now we're going to make a new agreement. So I'm cutting down on your share. Hand it over or I'll drill you.
Here.
Thanks. This added to my pile makes quite a tidy sum.
You'll let me go now?
To tip off the police when you get outside?
I won't. I swear I won't.
Save your breath, Wilson. I don't need you any longer, and I'm getting rid of you.
All right. But don't shoot me.
I'm not going to shoot you, Wilson. That's too much noise.
Back in college, I was a star wrestler. I can snap your neck with my bare hands.
No, no,
I don't need this gun. I'll throw it on the table.
You threw your gun down, but I got one of my own.
Wilson!
Get over against that wall, Haynes. Or whatever your name is. Get over there.
Are you crazy?
I never did trust you, you crook. Now it's my turn to pick up the dough.
Put that money down. It's mine.
Shut up. Shut your pretty mouth for a change. I'm sick of hearing you blow about how smart you are. How you're the mastermind of crime.
Wilson, where are you going?
Thanks for your share of the dough, Mr. Haynes. It makes quite a tidy sum. So long, pal.
With Wilson gone, Beard had to work alone, Colonel. Two nights later in the living room of a wealthy Minneapolis family home.
Marion, dear.
Yes, George.
What are you reading?
Oh, just one of the latest novels. Why don't you get a book and read, too, George? You seem so restless tonight.
I was down at police headquarters today.
Yes? Oh, have they traced any of the stolen jewelry?
No, it takes time. But Marion, the police have a theory that this epidemic of robberies is the work of one of our friends.
One of our friends?
Yes, the police say that anyone who knew as much about the inside of our homes as the... Marion?
Yes, George?
Didn't you say the servants were all out tonight?
Well, yes, they are. Since we were staying home, I thought...
Wait.
What's the matter?
Listen.
But I'm sure there's no one in the house but us.
Hear that?
Someone's upstairs.
I'm going up. You call the police.
I'm afraid. Let me come with you.
Oh, all right, dear. Careful now. We don't want these stairs to squeak.
George. I'm sure I left the light on at the top of the stairs. Someone's turned it out. What's that?
Someone's in this room.
Oh.
I'll open the door.
George!
Oh!
George, are you all right?
There he is.
He's going to jump out that window.
Come on.
Oh.
He fell into the yard.
Is he dead?
No, he's moving. Marion, you call the police. I'm going down there and grab him before he can get away.
Was that another of Beard's jobs, Chief Coffey?
Yes, Colonel. And although badly hurt after jumping from the Smythe's window, he succeeded in getting away. The police began checking all doctors and hospitals. 3 hours later, in a hospital room in Minneapolis...
Nurse. So, you're awake at last.
Who are you?
You know very well who I am. You're under arrest.
You want me for robbery?
No, we've got your partner Wilson to answer the robbery charges. We want you for something else.
What? Why am I under arrest?
It's an easy thing to change your name from Beard to Haynes or any other name you choose. But there's one thing you can't change, Dwight Beard. Your fingerprints.
Fingerprints?
We took them while you were asleep. We know your whole record. Particularly the crime you committed at Valdez, North Carolina.
No, I didn't have
any... You're all washed up, Beard. You're going back to North Carolina to be tried for murder.
Chief Coffey, I know that Beard was immediately returned to North Carolina. Was he convicted of murder?
Yes, Colonel, after a long court battle. Then an unexpected thing happened. Beard's sentence was commuted to life imprisonment. A year passed, then one night in the prison yard at North Carolina State Prison...
Hey, Beard.
Oh, hello, Connie.
I thought your leg was broke, but I just saw you walking as good as anyone.
That was a stall. I always pretended my leg was hurt after I left the hospital. The guards figured they don't have to watch me as closely as the others.
Yeah?
But after tonight, they won't have to watch me. I'm getting over that wall tonight.
Well, you got a ladder?
No. I'm jumping over.
Don't kid me, Beard. That's a 12-foot wall. Even a kangaroo couldn't hop that.
Come over here, Connie.
Okay.
See this long pole I have hidden against this wall?
Yeah.
Ever see a pole vaulter?
You mean one of those guys that jumped...
I used to pole vault when I was in college. And tonight I'm vaulting over that wall.
Over a 12-foot wall?
Yeah. May even break the world's record. But it's going to be strictly unofficial.
Attention, prison break. Dwight Beard, murderer, escaped from North Carolina State Prison at Raleigh Beard is 5 feet 11, 175 pounds, light complexion, athletic build, extremely dangerous. May be riding freight train heading south. Watch all trains heading south.
Yeah, Beard's not hiding on this freight. You can signal the engineer to go ahead.
Okay. Up there. Up there.
Any white man along the roads as you came through?
No, sir, boss. I ain't seen no one but myself all the time.
All right, get going.
Meanwhile, two police officers talked in Dallas, Texas.
Officer Roberts, I'm certain that Dwight Beard is somewhere in the Southwest.
If he's here, we'll get him, Sheriff. Police departments in every town in the country have circulars on Beard with full descriptions. He can't hide out forever.
Well, sooner or later, we'll get him.
Yes. I wonder what it feels like to be a hunted man every minute of the day and night.
This river's like ice. But I gotta get across. They're after me. After me with bloodhounds. Won't let me rest night and day. Everywhere, cops, cops, cops. Driving me crazy. They won't let me sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep.
It was on the night of December 23rd, 1936, that Dwight Beard arrived in Dallas, Texas, Colonel. But he was no longer the self-confident college man who had a plan for the perfect crime. Down at the heels, shifty-eyed, he slunk along a Dallas side street and walked up to a store.
Something?
Listen, guy, hand over your money or I'll kill you. I swear I will.
No, no. No, no. Don't. Here. Here, take the money.
That's better. If you try to follow me, I'll kill you.
Help! Hold up! Help!
That dirty rat!
What's wrong? Officer Roberts, I've just been held up. Man in the gray sweater. He ran down that cellar.
Get back, all you people. Out of the way. Get back, all of you.
Officer Roberts, don't go down there. Here's a gun. Officer Roberts. Officer Roberts. Are you hurt bad?
Somebody killed a cop.
Here's it's Officer Roberts.
We'll call an ambulance. Get help. Do something. Help.
Officer John Roberts was dead, Colonel.
The second murder chalked up against Dwight Beard.
Yes. From descriptions given by the storekeeper and the witnesses, Dallas police, who had memorized Beard's wanted circulars, soon knew that Dwight Beard was the murderer. And emergency squads were hurriedly ordered to converge on the area where Beard was last seen.
All right, you men. Take up your positions back of this wall. The killer's hiding in that garage. Train your machine guns on the door of that garage.
Right, Captain. Yes, sir.
You other squads over there in position?
Yes, sir.
Keep down, everyone. Hey, you in the garage. We know you're Dwight Beard. You're completely surrounded. Come out before we open fire. All right, men. Now we'll give him a taste of his own medicine. Put a round of machine gun bullets through the roof of the garage.
Captain! Captain!
Yes?
I'm up here in this fire escape. I can see the killer. He's climbed out on the roof of the garage.
What?
There's a truck parked in the street. He's going to try and jump in it and get away.
Come on, men. Follow me.
There's the gunman. He's going to jump. Pass.
Oh,
I got him.
I'm hurt. Let me go. Let me go.
Get up on your feet. Put your handcuffs on.
I didn't do anything. I'm hurt. I didn't do anything.
Oh, you thought you could jump to that truck and get away. A college athlete, huh? Come on, Dwight Beard. Start walking. Your jumping days are over.
And so, Colonel Schwarzkopf, for the second time in his life, Dwight Beard was arrested and tried for murder. But this time, the death sentence was carried out. Dwight Beard was electrocuted June 6, 1937, in the prison at Huntsville, Texas.
Thank you, Chief Coffey, for bringing us the facts in this case of Dwight Beard, the ape bandit. It's too bad that a college education athletic ability, and social accomplishments should have been used to rob good householders and snuff out the lives of law-abiding citizens. All because he would not learn the fundamental truth that crime never pays. And now before we broadcast our nationwide clues, a few words from Charles Stark.
Now that Mother and Sis have finished the dinner dishes, the last job in a long, hard day, they'll know what I mean when I talk about a weary back and sore arms. So many people suffer needlessly at a time like that, when just patting on Sloan's liniment will bring them quick and comforting relief. This famous liniment is the friend of all the family, the enemy of muscular aches and pains for more than 50 years. Try it just before going to bed for those housework aches. Or perhaps Dad has a stiff neck from sitting in a draft, or the youngster bumped his elbow playing football. In all those little family emergencies, Sloan's will help smooth out the kinks in those aching muscles. It's easy to apply, just pat it on, and you can feel it go to work like a heat treatment to bring you back to yourself again. If you haven't a bottle on the medicine shelf right now, make sure to ask your druggist for Sloan's liniment when you go shopping tomorrow. And now, the clues.
Warning, citizens of Southwest, watch for escaped Texas badman Charles G. Duffield, 24, 5 feet 9 inches, 147 pounds, black hair, brown eyes, tattoo, word chief, upper outer left arm, tattoo, emblem, heart and dagger with bird and ribbon, outer right arm. This man, notorious Dallas robber, escaped last week from State Prison Farm in Texas.
Attention, citizens of Western states, beware a man 6 feet or more, 200 pounds, dark bushy hair, small mustache, wearing dark trousers and jacket which look new. This man wanted for robbery last week of store and for subsequent kidnapping and beating of woman, leaving woman unconscious along road, Ely, Nevada.
Caution, citizens of Pacific Coast, be on lookout for bank robber, 35, 5 feet 6 inches, 130 pounds, fair complexion, wore dark double-breasted suit, gray cap, carried .38 caliber blue steel revolver. This man wanted for robbery last week, bank, Los Angeles, California.
If you have any information concerning these clues, notify your local police or gangbusters at once. Next week, the amazing case of the ruthless gang leader who used dynamite as his tool. Train after train laid waste, innocent victims killed, and the fiend who thought he could escape. Hear how alert police authorities caught this gang through sheer persistence and scientific investigation. You friends of Sloan's Liniment are in for another treatise. Phillips H. Lord opens chapter 213 in the officially endorsed America's Crusade Against Crime.
Calling the G-Men, calling all Americans to war on the underworld.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Last week of store and for subsequent kidnapping and beating of woman, leaving woman unconscious along road, Ely, Nevada. Caution, citizens of Pacific Coast, be on lookout for bank robber, 35, 5 feet 6 inches, 130 pounds, fair complexion, wore dark double-breasted suit, gray cap, carried .38 caliber blue steel revolver. This man wanted for robbery last week, bank, Los Angeles, California.
If you have any information concerning these clues, notify your local police or gangbusters at once. Next week, the amazing case of the ruthless gang leader who used dynamite as his tool. Train after train laid waste, innocent victims killed, and the fiend who thought he could escape. Hear how alert police authorities caught this gang through sheer persistence and scientific investigation. You friends of Sloan's Liniment are in for another treatise. Phillips H. Lord opens chapter 213 in the officially endorsed America's Crusade Against Crime. Thank you.
the police, calling the G-men, calling all Americans to war on the underworld.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.